Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talk to Aisha Janjir, the NDP candidate for the 2019 federal election in the riding of Guelph. Janjir is one of the five announced candidates from the major federal parties, and she was the last to be acclaimed back in June, but she helps form a unique quintet of local candidates who will be trying to make their case to be the next member of parliament for Guelph. Getting to know one of the candidates is the topic of this edition of the Guelph Politicast. Now, this is an unusual step for the Politicast because we usually save candidate interviews for Open Sources Guelph, but I mean, this is an unusual circumstance. Of the five candidates so far, three, including Liberal Lloyd Longfield, Green Steve Dick, and People's Party candidate Mark Paralivas, have been guests on either the Politicast or Open Sources at least once before. Janjir and Conservative candidate Dr. Ashish Sashan are relative newcomers to Guelph's political scene. Still, Janjir is not exactly inexperienced in local politics. In 2018, she ran to be a trustee for the Upper Grand District School Board in Ward 6 and Puslinch, and she came in third place. She was trained as a registered nurse and specialized in labor and delivery and mental health, and she's also been a member of Ontario's Public Service Employees Union, or OPSU, and the Registered Nurses Association of Ontario. So she does have that labor background and experience. And as a local coordinator and former president of her local Ontario Nurses Association, she helped secure a new deal for her and her fellow nurses at Guelph's Homewood Health Center. Janjir is currently a mental health nurse at Hamilton Wentworth Detention Center. So it's easy to see what would make Janjir such an attractive candidate for the NDP. But can what appeals to the local NDP members be translated to being appealing to the greater voting public? Now, the naked politicking of all this says that it could be an uphill struggle. In the 2015 election, NDP candidate Andrew Seagram came in third, and just less than one percentage point ahead of the Green Party candidate, Gord Miller. This time, the picture that the polls are painting right now shows that the Liberals are ahead, with the Greens and the Conservatives in a dead heat for second. The NDP and Janjir will have a steep climb if they want to be competitive, but the candidate herself is confident that the growing influence of young progressive female politicians like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand is a trend that can be duplicated here in Guelph. So on this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast, we'll talk to Janjir about the changing face of politics and her hopes for a positive campaign based on love and compassion. We will also discuss her experiences and career as a nurse and how that's come to inform her politics and what she thinks medical professionals like her need in terms of political support. And we talk about what she's learned from her past campaign and what she hopes to accomplish by the end of this one, aside from, of course, being Guelph's next MP. Now, before we hear from Aisha Janjir, I just want to add a note that this podcast was originally going to be a double bill with a separate interview with the Conservative candidate, Dr. Sashan, but he unfortunately had to cancel at the last minute due to an unforeseen circumstance, but he will be featured in an upcoming episode of the Politicast as soon as he becomes available, and we will bring that to you as soon as humanly possible. So I caught up with Aisha Janjir a few weeks ago in studio. So Aisha Janjir, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
I wanted to start out with something you mentioned in your campaign materials when you were running to be the nominee. You said that you were taking inspiration from new female politicians who were coming up, people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Jacinda Ardern, the PM of New Zealand. In terms of like what type of inspiration are you taking from them? Like what example are they leading for you as someone who's taking your steps into becoming a politician?
I really admire their ability to mobilize people. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is real when it comes to understanding what it's like to come from the Bronx, right? Which is very different. She's connected with people, which I find is so phenomenal. Like, it's extraordinary. And it's nice to see that there's people interested in politics other than your typical politician, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're very inspirational in the sense that they're women with amazing ideas and not afraid to share them. So they come across being bold and authentic.
One thing I'll say about AOC is that she doesn't take crap.
Yeah.
Which is a very bold position, not only as a young person, but as a female politician. I think women have sort of been conditioned that you can't, like, fight back.
Yeah, and fearless. Both of those female leaders are fearless.
Mm-hmm.
They have taken risks, mm-hmm. right? They have brought communities together mm-hmm. In very difficult times. And that's why I feel both New Zealand, Ardern and Ocasio-Cortez are phenomenal leaders that demonstrate that women can be very powerful, mm-hmm. and it's empowering to see them work.
Yes, I would agree. You are professionally a nurse, and I know that you've made that a pretty big plank that, you know, you see through your work every day, sort of what the effects are of, you know, not having as much governance support as you would like. I tried to have somebody from, like, the medical professions on last spring during the provincial election. It didn't work out for whatever reason, but I remember those commercials
mm-hmm.
where it shows people who are in the nursing field, and it's all about them coming home exhausted, having worked all these hours, and it just paints a picture of nursing, I think, that... I don't want to say might dissuade people from getting into the field, but it does imply that there's so much on your plate as a nurse. And I'm wondering, from your point of view, do those commercials encompass, you know, in terms of filling the minds of TV viewers like me,
mm-hmm.
the popular consciousness about what nursing is like? But what's your experience with nursing right now?
It's difficult. So I graduated from nursing in 97, and so much has changed as we're trying to, as hospitals or our healthcare sectors, like individual sectors, long-term care, whatnot, community, are trying to balance their budgets.
Mm-hmm.
They're balancing their budgets on the backs of nurses, mm-hmm. and then most importantly on the backs of people.
Mm.
So when organizations that I have worked for in the past, or organizations altogether, have vision and mission statements that talk about delivering safe, high-quality care,
mm-hmm.
I raise that very same question.
Mm.
How are we able to demonstrate that and support the public when what we really need is adequate funding?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a funding issue. And in regards to nurses coming home, like, exhausted, that's true,
mm.
right? A lot of nurses, you know, when they get back into our cars, we ask ourselves that very same question, like, did I do all that I could?
Mm.
Could I have done more?
Mm-hmm.
And know that our patients actually deserve better. That's why I'm standing, right? Mm. It's representing the public and what's in the best interest for our public. It's advocating for the care that they do deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And healthcare covers so many factors and faucets, and more importantly, it addresses social supports,
right,
or social inequality.
Mm-hmm.
And for a nurse, I mean, we provide care regardless of what your economic status is, what your career is, whatever.
Right.
The care is never any different, and we're trying to do the best that we can with what we have.
Mm-hmm. So from your experience, how does, like, where does the message get jumbled? Because you have frontline workers like you,
mm-hmm.
the doctors, the orderlies, whatever. It goes up to the administrators, the people running the hospitals and the health institutions. It goes up to the provincial overseers, the ministry.
Right.
And it seems like somewhere in there, your message, which is we're not getting enough, the financial support we need, doesn't reach the ears who can then sign the checks?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that they don't hear us.
Mm.
But why are we all being so helpless?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Right? And I think, if anything, I'm going to inspire some hope, because I really believe that we can make a difference. Maybe, I mean, let's recognize that Ontario spends the least amount of money per capita when it comes to healthcare
mm-hmm.
across the board.
Mm-hmm.
That's concerning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably a very good explanation of why nurses don't have the resources that we need to provide the care.
Mm-hmm.
That can change.
Right.
But it's going to require people to come together,
mm-hmm.
To say, you know what, we're not going to accept this as being, safe, high quality care. Nurses are reputable across globally recognized for the education that we provide.
Mm-hmm.
So our nurses can get jobs anywhere.
Right.
That being said, it's not to say that we don't have the knowledge base or the education to support the work that we do.
Right.
What we need is more resources.
Right. Some more nurses.
More nurses or, more equipment,
right.
More education, more training.
Right.
So that we can provide that high quality care that everyone deserves.
You must feel that there's something, there's a part of this missing because you are, the healthcare is managed at the provincial level,
mm-hmm.
but you're running for the federal level.
Yeah.
So what isn't the federal government doing that maybe they should have more of a role?
Well, so if we talk about our healthcare system, it's publicly funded.
Right.
And it's funded through the federal government, right? And then that money is sent down provincially and further, then it comes down to the hospitals and whatnot. I think there's a lot of work that we can do at those tables to ensure that policies are generated and they are fully supported by the federal government, from the federal government, to make sure that the provinces are giving what the hospitals and the healthcare sector requires.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. I wanted to point out too, you're currently working at the Hamilton Wentworth Detention Center.
Yes.
How is that, working in that environment, working with people who have been incarcerated, in terms of what resources you need there, what that work entails? Because I imagine that is probably not the easiest place in the world to be a nurse.
It's different. So I work in the capacity of a mental health nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm providing the exact same care that I have been, mm-hmm. When I was working, let's say, emergency mental health at the Guelph General Hospital or even from Homewood.
Right.
It's challenging because the prime goal or concern under the Ministry of Corrections or the Ministry of Solicitor General is the safety.
Right.
Right. So I think as a registered nurse or the healthcare department, we have to change our language to reinforce that what we're doing is to promote safety.
Right.
And then I think people are listening.
Right. Right.
So when it comes to the officers and the sergeants and even the inmates for that reason, we're all concerned about safety for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't find it more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different challenge.
I imagine, too, because I think one of the things we're kind of really aware of now is that a lot of people end up in prison because of systemic mental health challenges. So, in a sense, you're kind of dealing with people as they've hit rock bottom, mm-hmm. versus something like at Homewood where maybe people have a vague sense like, I need issues or I have issues, I need help. But you're dealing more with that sort of bottom end where people have just sort of...
It sort of reinforces that
yeah.
we failed.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's we failed, right?
Yeah.
So the system in itself has failed from, even if we look at the education system,
mm-hmm.
right? And what kind of supports are we providing to children and families when it comes to raising our children? And how are we supporting, when we talk about supporting children and ensuring that every child has an opportunity to reach their maximum potential,
mm-hmm.
when we fail at even that piece,
mm-hmm.
what are we going to expect, right?
Right.
And when we talk about funding and resources in the community,
mm-hmm.
it's lacking. So I'm not surprised that we end up with individuals in the social justice system or the criminal system that suffer from mental illness, because we actually miss those opportunities long before
right.
that they got here.
Yeah. It plays into something from your campaign literature where you're talking about generating a sense of love and compassion. And I'm concerned because I don't think this election is going to be about either of those things. And just judging from the temperature taken right now, and do you have a feeling that maybe you can have an impact, that you can sort of change that and make it more about sort of creating a more positive effect than I think we're kind of going, or we're going to wallow in the most negative of effects?
Yeah, and it's interesting because, following the different the parties that exist right now, following them. I appreciate the fact that the NDP has come out with a very strong platform, and I think it's in response to people's needs, which I haven't yet seen from the other parties, or at least it doesn't resonate for me. And I think it's through that compassion, the love and courage, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a lot of people to be courageous, to have, you know, some of those courageous conversations amongst family and friends, and asking the question, like, what is important to you? What are your issues?
Yeah.
And when we're talking about our federal election, upcoming federal election, are you going to be considering those very important values and beliefs that we hold, and asking ourselves, what matters to me when I'm casting my vote?
Right.
So I think we can run this very positively. I think it's an opportunity for people to be empowered and mobilize them. It's gonna require a lot of dedication and hard work, but it's definitely possible.
I would note that one of the reasons that people were attracted to Justin Trudeau in the first place was that he ran in 2015 a very positive campaign. There wasn't a lot of mudslinging from him anyway. I'm not sure that's going to be the case now because, you know, he's the incumbent. He's going to be fighting a very difficult race. He's going to be challenged on all sides. And I think that for the most part, the conservatives are running on a very anti-Trudeau campaign, which isn't necessarily about what they're for, but about what they're against, which is everything Trudeau has done. But, you know, that's going to create a lot of noise. That you and other NDP candidates are going to have to fight against if you're going to try and let positivity win.
Yeah, I've mentioned this before. We can win without having to have to resort to those tactics because they're hurtful.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that that's necessary at all. I have extensive background in the union and negotiating with employers, and in order for us to have any meaningful conversations with our counterparts, we have to be respectful. So I definitely will not be resorting to any of those. Not necessary.
The race maybe needs a mental health nurse. we'll soon find out. For people may recognize your name, not necessarily just running as an NDP, but you ran for school board trustee last year. What did you learn coming out of that you're now bringing to this new race? And maybe, to come around after, with respect, losing the seat you were running for. But, you know, to come back so quickly a year later and saying, I'm going to run for this other seat. Did you get a taste for it? Are you in the politics stream now that it's got you and this is going to be a part of your life now?
I don't know if you've read any of my other interviews or whatnot, but I've shared that nursing itself is very political. So without wearing that shield or that title of I'm running for office, the work that every nurse does is very political. When we're advocating for our patients at the bedside, to advocating for the community at large. The experience that I gained from running as school board trustee, it was a very positive experience. I had a great opportunity to connect with people and to actually share with them that they weren't alone, right? I've got grave concerns about the suicide rates rising as they are amongst our youth, which is a direct correlation to the lack of services in our system. I'm very troubled by that. The opioid crisis is very real. And I am not prepared to sit back and see lives, to see any more lives being lost. So I think if anything, that experience generated more strength that, you know what, I can still keep on moving as long as I have the support of people.
I wanted to mention something Mike Foley said, who was your nominator at the meeting. He was talking about your background. You speak four languages. You're part of a minority community here in Guelph, and how you could sort of be a gateway to a whole new community of people who live in Guelph but may not feel represented. And I just wanted to ask, is that the case? Are there people in our community who maybe don't feel represented by, not necessarily through the fault of anyone in particular, but, you know, just by the system as it is right now and who's representing them? Is there sort of a feeling that people aren't being heard?
I'm not entirely sure, because, I mean, I grew up in Guelph.
Yeah.
I was born in Hamilton, and my parents moved to Guelph when I was 2 weeks old. So,
right.
So Guelph is home to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think if people are experiencing a disconnect, or feeling like their voices are not being heard because they come from a minority group, I mean, statistically, research says that that is very much the case.
Mm.
Have I experienced that personally? No.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking with other community members, they do get that sense, right?
Mm.
That their issues or what's important to them, and just culture-wise, there's a lot of confusion.
Right.
Right? So I'm always there to provide support and even give them direction, right? When they felt lost, like, where to now? Who do I speak to?
Mm.
So I tend to be resourceful,
mm-hmm.
in that sense. And providing reassurance is really important. And validating their feelings, like, it's real.
Yeah, right. I do wonder, because, you know, you drive through Guelph from the south end to the core to the north end. It does feel like maybe we're made up of, like, these different enclaves,
mm-hmm.
that we're all together in this one place called Guelph. But, you know, and maybe you've had this experience too, but the South End doesn't feel like the core or the North, mm-hmm. End. That, you know, maybe we are a bit more disparate than we think. Not necessarily based on any kind of socio-political or ethnic terms, just geography-wise.
I think you're very right. Like, to say that it's because, you know, certain minorities are in certain areas versus others, I don't think that's the case.
No, because I don't think
you'll
that's
see
the case.
You'll
either.
See, like, a very multicultural presence in, absolutely. All those different areas.
Absolutely.
I think socioeconomic status might be a thing that could be raised,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. But you're right. Like, I live in the South End, but when I was growing up, in the North End. So, like, Ontario Street, Alice Street,
mm-hmm.
like Beverly Street,
mm-hmm.
You know.
The ward,
and and it was home, right?
Right.
So much has changed, but I think a lot of the changes are really not in a positive way. I,
mm-hmm.
mean, so much is lost in social services,
right.
which I think is hurting everyone.
Yeah.
Right? So I wanna make sure that the working class and people that have felt underrepresented are now finally gonna have a sense that there is a voice for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because who better to represent them than someone who's actually experienced those themselves?
Mm-hmm. So what have you been doing since you got the nomination? How has life changed for you, or are you still sort of in that phase where you're kind of psyching yourself up for the task that is to come? Because technically we're not in a campaign period, although certainly some of us are acting like it is. But, you know, how has life changed for you so far?
So I'm what's changed for me is I'm getting to meet new people. And that's been really exciting for me, because when I meet individuals, it's a learning opportunity for me. So trying to come up with a campaign team is something that I'm focusing right now, wanting to solidify some supports, and also trying to work full time and being a mom and a wife,
right.
and everything else that's, you know, that still needs my attention.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a bit overwhelming, but I work hard on work-life balance, so it's manageable at this point.
Do you have any interaction with the other candidates at all? Like, even just like, welcome to the race, I will crush you, or something, I don't know.
No, not yet. But I'm really looking forward to those opportunities. Absolutely.
Good. Looking ahead to the campaign, I imagine there are things you're looking forward to and maybe some things that you're not looking forward to. Because, you know, maybe the nastiness we mentioned before.
Yeah.
So, you know, sort of to set those standards. What are you looking forward to? What are you maybe not so looking forward to?
So the safety of my family is very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the issues that I raised and spoke to my husband about. Because I'm a female,
right?
Coming from a minority,
right?
So I'm racially diverse. A registered nurse, not your typical, let's say, politician,
right?
Right. And the only female in the race.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that you had actually raised.
I did.
So I recognize those elements, but I'm not afraid of them.
Mm.
In fact, I embrace them.
Right.
What I'm really looking forward to is I'm looking forward to running a very positive campaign to have as many people that would like to volunteer and work on the campaign, for there to be a cohesive group, for people to feel welcomed. And at the end of the day, we're going to win this one.
Wow. Well, that's a bold statement. maybe we'll wrap up by just saying, like, as you're kind of going into, once the writ is drawn up and once the campaign launches, what do you want the campaign to be about? What do you want to, like, is there something in particular? I mean, obviously, healthcare is a big deal. But in terms of the issues or in terms of, like, the type of campaign you want to have, like, what is your goal? Like, what would make you proud on October 21st, no matter how the race ends?
At the end of the election, you know, once we get the results, what would make me feel really proud is if people felt, you know, people felt supported and respected.
Mm.
Because you're right. I can't promise a win.
Mm-hmm.
But what I can promise is that I'm going to be dedicated and committed. I'm extremely motivated. I feel very passionate, not only about the healthcare aspect, but I'm concerned about affordability for our youth when it comes to the housing market. And I'm very concerned about climate change. So, you know, if it means that all of us are working together and people have felt respected in the whole process, that would be a win for me.
Hmm. Well, we will see what happens. Aisha Janjir, thank you so much for joining me today, and we'll see you on the hustings.
Thank you.
And once again, that was Aisha Janjir, and you can engage with her and her campaign through the Guelph's NDP website at guelphndp.ca. Stay tuned for ongoing coverage of the 2019 federal election on Guelph Politico. Look for the banner on the right-hand side of the website in order to follow along with those latest developments. And don't forget that election day this year is October the 21st. And that is it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. You can download the Guelph Politicast every Wednesday from iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or Spotify. And you can download it from our host website, Podbean, at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. And when you do subscribe, you will also get an episode of Open Sources on Monday and an episode of End Credits on Friday. So that's a bonus. And you can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson or at Guelph Politico. There is also the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you very shortly. And until then, see you next time.